If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them to Titus chapter 2. And if you have a smartphone or another device, the wireless is open here. You'd find a Guest Wireless. I think it's Seville Guest, I think it's called. And there's actually a YouVersion live event. You can click on live in YouVersion and find one near you, and it will show up. It's about creating an atmosphere of spiritual health. But the Bible works too. Just open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. You know, that last week I spent a lot of time talking to the men in our church. Because as you're reading, like the first verse in chapter 2, it says, you must teach what's in accord with sound doctrine, teach older men, and then it goes on and talks about men and how to teach them. And I spoke about not just who they should be, but how they should be and how to conduct their lives. And if you remember, I had on a PowerPoint, I took a picture of the peep sights from my 22, and I said, here's what you should aim at, you know, because I thought, that's pretty masculine, you know, peep sights from a 22, that's cool. And I was talking to someone this week, I'm going to be saying, here's what Titus says to the women, and I said to somebody, what do you think I should put up there? And this wasn't your pastor, but whoever I was talking to, they said, put a washer and a dryer up there. Can you believe that? Oh, that's just wrong. Boy, ladies, you didn't laugh at that. No, because it's not funny, is it? It's not funny. But sometimes we feel like that's how the Bible looks at things. Sometimes we feel that the Bible is even sexist, and it is not. Not even a little. However, here's what the Bible does. The Bible recognizes that human beings are different. And some of those differences fall in general ways across gender lines. And it sees strengths that men have, and it sees strengths that women have. You might think, well, those are weaknesses that men have, or weaknesses that women have. But generally, a weakness is nothing more than a strength that's being pushed a little too far. So I want to talk to you today just about some counsel that God is giving to women. And I want to talk to you about the atmosphere. And that's why the picture on the PowerPoint is what it is. Because that looks like the kind of atmosphere I could be comfortable in. I could sit down there with a mug of Starbucks and maybe do a little reading or browsing the internet. That's a beautiful atmosphere. And I want to say to you today that women have an ability, I believe a God-given ability, to create a very beautiful atmosphere wherever they are. Now, I like classic things. I like classic rock. I like vintage guitars. I like classic television. And the best of all classic television is The Andy Griffith Show. I didn't grow up watching The Andy Griffith Show. It had come and gone by the time I was watching television. But when Laurel and I were in college together, in the evenings, we would turn on one of the non-network channels, and there was The Andy Griffith Show. And we fell in love with Andy and Opie and Barney and Aunt Bee and even Floyd the Barber. The Andy Griffith Show was great because it taught a lot of kinds of lessons. And I actually want to show you a portion of an episode this morning where you can kind of see that being played out. But let me set the stage for you before I press play here, okay? Here's what's happening in this episode. Andy and Opie live alone, but Aunt Bee has moved in with them to do the cooking and to take care of them. But in this episode, it begins with her getting on a bus. She is going out of town. She's worried about these two bachelors who won't be able to fend for themselves. And she looks out the window of the bus and she sees their friend Peggy there. And Peggy is blonde and she's quite attractive. And she and Andy maybe have a thing going later on, but they don't right now. And Aunt Bee says, Peggy, would you take care of these helpless bachelors? And Peggy says, sure I will, Aunt Bee. You don't worry at all. And so the first night, Peggy's over for supper. She lays out a spread that is just beautiful with candles that are lit and everything. It's a wonderful night. And the next day, she brings in lunch for Andy. And here she's got lunch for Opie and lunch for Andy. And Floyd the barber is sitting there. And Floyd is an instigator. And when she leaves, Floyd says, uh-huh. You know what she's doing? She's hunting a man. She is on the hunt for you, and she's going to get you. Well, Andy begins to get paranoid that this may indeed be the case. And so, when he sees Peggy later, he says, Peggy, you don't have to come over and fix dinner tonight. Oh, you can't fix dinner, Andy. I'll do it. No, Peggy, you can't come over because Opie and I need to talk. And he kind of lies to her because he's afraid. I don't want you here. Opie and I need to talk. So they have dinner that night, and there's a roast that Aunt Bee had prepared, and it gets burnt to a crisp, and you know, things are on fire on the stovetop and everything else. Finally, they end up, they have weenies and beans, okay? And even they're burned and not, they're inedible. They can't be eaten. So after supper, Opie and Andy are sitting out on the porch and nothing seems to be working.
I really can't show you the video here on the podcast, but if you go to KerwinsvilleAlliance.org and look for the podcast For Women, Creating an Atmosphere of Spiritual Health, you can watch the video that is there.
There's a woman in the house. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. That a woman has the ability to change the atmosphere wherever she is. What kind of atmosphere do you create in your own home or wherever you are? You know that Andy's not just talking about the cooking, although Opie's looking forward to eating. And you know that Andy's not just talking about the cleaning, although that she had an apron on, right? But he's talking about something that she brings that the two of them could not manufacture. Let's read Titus chapter 2. We're just going to read 3 verses, 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll discuss them. In verse 3 it says, likewise, so you see this is hooked up with, here's how I want men to behave, and now likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the Word of God. Okay, so what kind of atmosphere do you create? And I'm not speaking about just atmosphere at home. I'm speaking about the atmosphere you create when you're working. I'm speaking of the atmosphere that you create when you and the girls go out for lunch. I'm speaking of the kind of atmosphere that you create whenever you're in your small group at church. What kind of atmosphere do you create? And I want to share just three things I see in this text that speak to the kind of atmosphere men and women alike should create. But again, the book of Titus is talking to women. The first one is an atmosphere of respect. Take a look at verse 3. It says, likewise, teach older women to be, and here's the word, reverent in the way they live. What does that mean? Reverent in the way they live. Well, we all know what it would mean if it said, don't be irreverent. We can get that, right? He's talking about someone different than that. He's talking about someone who is revered. Because if you think about it, you can see the word reverent and revere seem to be related. They certainly remind us of one another. You revere a person who has character. You revere a person who lives their life well. So whenever you're creating this atmosphere of respect, you're doing things that build others up. You're doing things that, well, in the text, it speaks of things that are non-destructive in terms of communication. I say that because of the phrase, not slanderers. Teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers. We're reading a book on Thursday night. There's a men's group reading a book called The Hidden Value of a Man. It's written by Smalley and Trent. It's an old book, probably 20 years old now. Smalley and Trent have written a number of books, and I've read a number of them through the years, and in one of them, they gave such a great illustration of the power that a woman has that it stuck with me forever. Smalley and Trent said that women have built into them a relationship manual. My wife has a built-in relationship manual. I don't have that, but my wife has that. I have a built-in mechanical manual. I'm going down the road in the car, and I can feel this, you know, as I'm driving along. I'm driving, and I hear this, and I turn the wheel just a little bit. And I know, I have a wheel bearing that's going. And so years ago, we were driving along in our Toyota, and I went, and I said, Laurel, you hear that? She said, I don't hear anything. I said, well, listen. She said, yeah, what is that? I said, that's a wheel bearing. She said, that doesn't sound like a problem to me. Because she has no mechanical manual built in. But what my wife has is a relationship manual. And so through the years, many times, I have heard my wife speak these words to me and our family. She said, Tim is not himself this week. I'm like, really? He seems fine to me. No, you don't have a relationship manual. I do. There's a wobble in Tim. Esther is really stressed, I think, this week. Really? I just noticed she was kind of grouchy. No, it's deeper than grouchiness. She hears it. Or Steve, your tone, Steve. It says that something's upsetting you. Nothing is upsetting me! How does she get that? She has a built-in relationship manual, and she can hear the wobble. But understand this, ladies, that just as I could use my mechanical aptitude and the mechanical manual I have to maybe create something bad, like a bomb or something like that, and I could hurt people with it, likewise, women, with your relationship manual, if you push that strength beyond where it should be and use it where it should not be used, you can cause evil in relationships. Have you ever heard the phrase, mean girls? We all know what that is, right? It's kind of what the text is warning us about. It talks about that slanderous speech, and when I think of that, I think of gossip. Matt Mitchell, who's a pastor at the Landsea Free Church, wrote a book, Resisting Gossip. I quoted it a couple of weeks ago in a sermon, I think. I have another quote here. Listen to how Matt defines gossip. He says, gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. And that's destructive. And if you have the built-in relationship manual and you can see what's going on in people that maybe other people can't see, then if you have that relationship manual and you have good communication skills, you could really use that to injure others. And that's what the warning is about here. If you want to create an atmosphere of respect, you will instead respect others. And when you do that, you will find yourself being respected. Respecting others has to do with thinking about how what you say will affect them and how it will play out in their reputation and in their lives. How it might injure them if you are not careful. It means thinking before you say stuff. Laurel used to say to the kids, and she said it to me more than once, just because a thought comes into your head doesn't mean you have to say it out loud, all right? Yeah. Respecting others brings respect even for yourself. And you can create an atmosphere of respect that way. When I look at the text, I see also the atmosphere of respect is actually created by a productive lifestyle. In other words, not being a couch potato. I picked that up because it says that phrase, not addicted to much wine. And I think God is speaking in broader terms than just an addiction to alcohol. He absolutely does not want anyone to be addicted to alcohol. But I think there's a wider application here. Because I want you to think of what it must have been like in the first century to live on the Isle of Crete. To be maybe a wealthy family on the Isle of Crete. To be a woman in a wealthy family on the Isle of Crete where you had servants to take care of your children. And really, what are you doing with your time? How are you spending your time? And I think there would have been a temptation to indulge yourself in some of the fruit of the vine and to have an alcohol problem. And that would be wrong. It would be wrong for many reasons, but one of them is because it would be unproductive. And if you're unproductive, that does not lead to a respectful atmosphere. God has almost certainly got more in mind than just alcohol here. In fact, I think the idea is that couch potato is a really good picture of what he's talking about here. Don't be someone, if you want to create an atmosphere of respect, don't be someone that spends all your time on Facebook. Oh, wow. That comes right home, doesn't it? Don't be someone who spends all your time reading romance novels. Wow, what is that? Don't be someone who spends all your time wasting time in front of soap operas, eating bonbons. No one's going to respect that. And you will not be creating an atmosphere of respect. Instead, when it comes to the atmosphere of respect, you can actually be one who influences other people in positive ways. And that's what he's talking about when he says they can teach the younger women. You can teach people positive things, and that automatically brings respect to you and shows that you respect them. Man, I was thinking of a list of people that have taught me important things, and that list is so long. I remember a guy named Dave, just a simple guy, Dave, and he taught me the problem of being manipulative. And Steve, I see that in your life. I don't know that you want to be that guy. I remember a friend in college named Buddy. And Buddy taught me how to love kids before I had kids. I can remember Buddy looked at me one time, he said, "You're not comfortable around little kids, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not, man. I think you ought to put them in a pickle barrel when they're little and feed them through the hole in the barrel. That would work. When they turn 16, plug the hole. That's it. Right there." Just kidding, okay? But I wasn't comfortable, and Buddy said, "Yeah, I see that. Let me teach you how to be comfortable around kids." And he took me with him to do his kids ministry at his church, Ebenezer Baptist Church. He taught me something. I respect him because of that. And it makes me more respectable because of that. I think of Mitch. Mitch taught me how to do a good funeral. And I respect Mitch because of that. Who are you teaching? Who are you investing in? If you want to create an atmosphere of respect, then invest your life into people to build them into better people than they are through the power of Christ. The second concept I see in this text is to create an atmosphere of love. I say that because of verse 4. We're to teach younger women, he says, to love their husbands and their children. So the woman that's being spoken of here is a woman who is compassionate. Generally, you don't have to tell women to be compassionate. Generally, they are, but just as in Crete, God wanted Titus to tell women this, I guess maybe we need to as well, that you want to nurture within yourself feelings of sympathy for others. Compassionate women are moved when they see their own children suffer. They're moved when they see someone else suffered. My mom was a compassionate woman to the point that until she was in her 70s, she would walk up to a mom who had a baby that was giving her trouble in church when there was no nursery and say, "Hey, if you'd like, I would be glad to take your child for the next 40 minutes. And Mary Shields would go back to the nursery with anybody's kid. Not because she loved kids, but it was because she was compassionate toward moms. Listen, you and I are watching compassion unfold right in front of us. We're watching compassion unfold before our eyes in the lives of a little Bulgarian girl who we call Yossi. And we are watching Josh and Jess, in an act of compassion, travel halfway across the planet to another continent, to a place where they don't speak the language, to meet a special needs girl whose development they weren't even sure that she would be able to look them in the eye when she got there. Why would anyone do that? Compassion. And do you notice how compassion is contagious? And if you've been reading those emails, you can see that that beautiful thing of compassion, it kind of swells into your life and changes the atmosphere of your whole day. More than just compassionate, creating an atmosphere of love means being nurturing. And I got to tell you, nurturing is more than just feeding a physical body. It is feeding the heart. It's feeding the spirit. And so when a teacher says to a student, "Look, buddy, I know you want to quit, but you can get this. You can do it. You just need to stick with it," she is nurturing that student. Or when a coach says to a team, "Listen, if you guys stick with this and you work really hard, you won't just touch the trophy, you will own the trophy." She is nurturing those teammates. And when your wife, a wife, says to a husband, "Don't let that get you down, buddy. This is going to be tough, but we're going to make it." That wife, through those words of encouragement, is nurturing that husband, and man, does he respect her. Man, does he respect her. "I got me a good woman. She picked me up when I was down." Think of the word holy for a minute. That word, holy, is a word that, for me, as a young man, it kind of turned me off. If I heard of a holiness preacher that was going to be preaching, I wouldn't want to be there. And when I heard holiness, I remember Laurel went to Asbury College, and there at Asbury College up on the Hughes Auditorium, it says, "Holiness unto the Lord," and I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, I don't think I like that. Here's why. I got it isolated. Here's why. When I was a kid, about 12 years old, I went to church camp, and there at church camp, I was working in the dish room. And in the dish room, out of the blue, I just said, "Holy cow!" And this old woman says to me, she takes her towel, like she's going to snap me with it. She looks at me and she says, "Nothing is holy but the Lord, young man." And if I'd been a little more witty, I would have said, "Holy legalism, Batman!" You know? Yeah. Sometimes we can make holiness like a ball and chain, like a bad thing, something we don't want. But I want to tell you that holiness is an incredibly beautiful thing, and a holy atmosphere is an incredibly healthy thing. If you think of holiness, in a sense, it means purity. And so you have this purity in the air, and that's the kind of air I want to breathe. I want to breathe pure atmosphere. On the other hand, if there's unholiness in the atmosphere, that's going to bring death. And nothing good will flourish in an unholy atmosphere. And so when God is speaking in verse 5, he says to women, I want you to be self-controlled. And that's the very same word that he uses in verse 2 for men. So evidently self-control is something for all of us, right? There's a lot of overlap here, isn't there? Second, he says, beyond being self-controlled, he says, I want you to be pure. And that makes sense. Because if a woman is impure, if she's engaging in indecency, she will not be providing a holy atmosphere, and nothing will thrive in a poisonous environment. He says as well, I want you to be busy. Do you see that, the phrase, busy at home? Let me ask you, please don't read that word busy at home to mean that women have to stay home, that it's wrong for them to go out and work. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. I have heard teachers say that, Bible teachers say that. But Dr. Wiggins said to a group of young pastors at Toccoa Falls when I was graduating, before I graduated, he was teaching a class, and he says, you have to know that can't mean that women have to work in the home. It has to be just a term for they should not be lazy, they shouldn't be couch potatoes. And the reason I say that, Dr. Wiggins said, is because look at Proverbs 31, which is the picture of the perfect woman, and what does it say? It says she's a real estate agent. It does, you know. In Proverbs 31, it says, she considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. Now, the concept of busy in the home doesn't mean she has to stay home. Man, most moms want to stay home if they can, right? But what it means is she's not lazy. She's holy. She takes the time God has given her, and she uses it wisely. One more thing I want to cover here that it says they should be subject to their husbands. Wow. Can you believe it's 1 minute till 12 according to the clock there, and I just opened that can of worms. Subject to their husbands, huh? That doesn't mean you're a slave, right? I'm going to close that can of worm with one sentence. And if you've been attending Kermansville Alliance for the past couple years, you'll get it. Here's what that means. It means that God wants women to respond to the spiritual protection He requires men to provide. You understand that? He wants women to respond to the spiritual protection that He wants men to provide. And that's nearly a perfect way to say it. Why? Why does God say all these things? Because it ends up by saying, if you're not being this person who creates an atmosphere of respect and love and holiness, then when people look at you, they'll say, if that's what Christianity looks like, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And no Christian wants to have that occur. No Christian wants that to occur. Now, what kind of atmosphere is in your home? And I'm not talking about furniture. I'm not talking about the lighting. I'm not talking about the curtains or the dinner menu. I'm talking about what kind of person are you? Are you a person who creates respect and people respect you because of the way you're behaving? Are you a person who shows love and people know you as someone who is compassionate, putting the needs of others even ahead of yourself? Are you a person who exudes holiness of an attractive sort that people say, I like breathing the air around that person. I flourish when that person is here. Now, here's what could happen. And here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to take those three concepts, those three kinds of areas of atmosphere and say, okay, I'm going to put these on my refrigerator. I've got be a person of respect, be a woman of love, be a woman of holiness, a woman of respect, a woman of respect. Yeah, okay. And then make that a to-do list. That's not what I want to see. I don't want to give you another responsibility like, okay, I got to make sure I'm doing that in addition to all the other stuff I have to do. Here is the secret to doing these things. The secret to doing these things is being near Jesus, so that His presence so permeates your life, these things come out of you naturally. So suddenly it's not a job you have to do to be respectable. It becomes who you are. And suddenly it's not a job you have to do to be loving and compassionate. It is just you're loving and compassionate because you spend a lot of time with someone who's loving and compassionate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not that all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to have to be holy. How do I do that? Probably by not saying holy cow. Is that how I do that? No, you exude holiness because you are with the Holy One. And here's what that's going to take from you. Here's how you can make that happen. Spend personal time with God. Make that a priority in your day. Build it into your day. Say to your husband, if you're married, you're going to need to give me 30 minutes a day. Leave me alone. I need to spend time alone with God. And maybe it's only 10 minutes a day. Whatever you need, get it. You know, I can guarantee if you do that to your husband, here's what's going to happen. Do you know where my fishing hat is? You know, I know that's going to happen, right? Right? But if you're a husband, give your wife that time alone. Spend that time alone. Put everything on hold and spend that time alone. Because when you are with the one who generates respect and who just creates love and is holiness, then you become that person. And then suddenly a sermon like this isn't like, oh man, three more things I have to do with my life. Suddenly a sermon like this is like, three things I get to do. It's power I get to exude because I get to fill up with Jesus. I get to fill up with Him. The illustration that comes to mind is it's being plugged in to a power source and seeing the power there. You have a weed eater? I have a weed eater. Mine's electric. Yours might be gas. Mine's electric. Every now and then I'm running it and I'm going and going and going. I got a 100-foot cord on that baby and I go around the corner and suddenly it stops. It's like, what happened? And I could run that weed eater all day long, move it all day long. It wouldn't cut any grass. It needs to be plugged into the source. That is, ladies, how you can begin to create this kind of atmosphere. And I think some of you are already creating it. I said in the first service, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because there's good, good people at Kerwinsville Alliance. But I just want to pray that we'd be able to create it even more. Okay? If you're comfortable doing so, let's stand together as we pray. And I'll ask the musicians if they'll come. Father in heaven, when we're really honest and we look at the short video clip from Andy Griffith and we hear there's a woman in the house and that's all there is to it, we know that you have given women a power, an ability to bring an atmosphere that is really hard to bring about without them. And we give you praise. We give you thanks for that. Thank you for the gift of gender, both men and women. Thank you for women. I pray, Father, for the women who are here, and I pray that they will not have received this as a three more things I need to do, but rather they could see it as three incredible influences I can have because of how God made me. Wow. And then I pray that they will walk close with you so that they can be women of respect who generate a respectful atmosphere, and women of love who generate a loving atmosphere, and women of holiness through whom we even see God. Pray that you will make this happen naturally and supernaturally in their lives. And that they would be honored and this world would be blessed because there's a woman in the house. That's all there is to it. In Christ's name, amen.